All right. This gentleman has been with us all year long. It's a lot of fun to have him on. He writes for The Athletic. He lives here in the Bay Area. Owen Poindexter, how are you?
Great to be here, Marty.
Yeah, nice.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good today, and kind of having fun. Joe Sheehan is one of my favorites. I had him on earlier. Are you familiar with Joe?
Sure. I love his stuff.
Yeah. We kicked around. I guess I want to maybe talk with you first about this Cy Young stuff. We had this debate on our podcast the other day of, you know, the wins. How important is it for DeGrom vis-a-vis Scherzer and Nola, Kershaw? DeGrom has done so many amazing things on the mound this year, but he plays for a team that is not in pressure games every day he takes the ball, as opposed to the other two. Where do you stand on this one? You understand the analytics of pitching, so how do you see the National League Cy Young race?
Sure, yeah, and I should say I actually grew up a Mets fan, and it's, you know, low pressure games would be an understatement for them this year. I come down on DeGrom side. I gave up on the win stat a long time ago, and I honestly think it's hung around as long as it has because it's called the win. If we called it the left with the lead or the, you know, the team didn't give up the lead after I left the game stat, we wouldn't treat it with the same reverence. And so I think DeGrom has just had such a unique season. I mean, it's you could call it one of the best seasons in the modern era. And, you know, I love Scherzer. I think Nola is a real star. I think he's going to be a Cy Young contender for many years. But I think this is DeGrom's year. And, you can't control the teammates around you and how many runs they score. But also, DeGrom's done... Yeah, and he's had just an amazing set of games, whether or not the team actually wins. But so many of those games, the Mets don't even score. They score one or two runs. And it's this kind of sad running joke with them about how DeGrom, you know, pitches eight innings, one run, and he gets the loss because the team didn't score for him. I feel like the Cy Young should be about who was the best pitcher. And I think DeGrom was the best pitcher, even if, you know, we didn't see him in a high pressure situations. I feel like you can only judge what actually happened on the field. And, if you want to make it a tiebreaker kind of thing where, you know, say Scherzer or Nola, they're fighting for, I guess Nola, not so much Scherzer, is fighting for the division. Okay, yeah, I can say that those games mattered more. But I would take that as a tiebreaker, and I don't think we need a tiebreaker. I think DeGrom's just been that good.
Okay, very well said, very well said. What do you think is going to happen? Because the writers do vote on it, and many adopt the analytical approach, which we saw with Felix Hernandez getting it with Seattle. What do you think is going to happen?
I think DeGrom's been – he does have a little bit of a margin against those guys just in terms of the numbers, you know, strikeouts, ERA. That ERA, I think, is going to win it for him. If it was close, I bet Nola edges him out because Nola has been incredible. And his team won the division, and it does feel a little weird to give a prestigious award to a guy on a team that is just kind of a sad mess right now. But I think because he's got that ERA under two, that's going to be too hard to ignore. Right. I think that Grom takes it over Nola.
Yeah, very good. Very good. As you know, you heard our podcast. Carmen was almost going to strangle me, I think, on one of these arguments. But, I think I did come around to DeGrom. I think my final answer was, it sounds like one of the quiz shows. My final answer was DeGrom gets it because of the incredible season he's had and the record that he's broken of this 24, 25 starts, whatever it is, three runs or less. That puts him in a different category for me. So I think I had him first, Nola second, and Scherzer third, I think, when it was all said and done. I think that's what.
Yeah, I think that's my order, too. Yeah, I thought Scherzer was going to win it just because he's the guy I think of as the best pitcher in baseball now. I feel like he's taken that from Kershaw, but it's hard to call him the best pitcher in baseball when he might not even be the best pitcher in the National League. So it'll be interesting to see next year. I feel like it's an open field. It was just Kershaw and then everyone else for a while. Yeah. But now it feels like it's, you know, about five guys in there.
Yeah, now the American League, Owen Poindexter with us. And Owen, of course, it's always just good to talk ball with you in September. Very exciting month. Blake Snell of Tampa Bay And nobody mm-hmm. talks about Blake Snell, but of course, I know you know the numbers on him. Earned run average is just a tick above two. And you look at Kluber and Sale and Verlander and all these people. If I had to win a game, I'd take this guy.
Yeah, Snell's been amazing. He's someone who I kind of forgot about him. He's just one of these Rays pitchers that, you know, showed some promise, but, you know, not someone you think of. Certainly not one of the best pitchers in the league by any means. Not even someone who you'd be all that excited to have on your team. And this year, he has come alive. He's just striking everyone out. And I feel like the AL has a bunch of these pitchers. Sale, I guess, would be the big one. But Gerrit Cole, all of a sudden, is just, you know, a strikeout machine. Verlander kind of rediscovered his magic last year. But yeah, Snell, I don't have any great explanations for, but that ERA just over two is pretty amazing. And, you know, I was just, you know, kind of railing against the context of the rest of the team. Snell actually has a very unique role in that he's pretty much the only starting pitcher left on the Rays. And so they really count on him to soak up some innings because almost every other game is a bullpen game or starts with an opener or something like that. And now that they've traded Archer and Eovaldi, it's kind of just him. I guess they have Glasnow now, and so he'll eat up a few innings. But Snell's the only guy they really leave in there. So for him, I would also, you know, I think Sale has just had such a dominant season, I'd still probably go with him for the Cy Young. But yeah, you can make a case for Snell, and I think you can include some team context there.
Yeah, I do. I think he is the only guy for Tampa Bay, and I think that puts some pressure on him as well. Last thought before we talk a little bit about the Giants here. J.D. Martinez, as Bruce Jenkins just told us, he's got a chance at a triple crown, not only of the American League, but all of baseball. And Bruce said, I think Bruce said, you got to go back to Mantle to find someone who led all three categories of both leagues. And
both leagues, right?
Yeah. How about J.D. Martinez? What do you think about him?
And he is the guy, he's the first guy I think of when I think of the launch angle revolution, as it's come to be known, because he was kind of this, you know, he had some power, but you know, he seemed like one of those guys that all he's got is power and not much else. And then, yeah, he figured out a new swing. And, you know, there was a couple years where people didn't quite believe it, but now he's just a true monster. And, yeah, I heard you saying, you know, that's the guy who would be nice to have on the Giants. It is funny how he did linger out there. I think, you know, he doesn't contribute too much on defense. But yeah, the fact that he can have that power, that's a rare thing, especially in today's game, to have power and that level of contact ability. It's like, how do you even pitch to that guy? And the problem for pitchers is that, you know, you pitch around him, then you've got the rest of that Boston lineup to deal with. It's not like there are too many places to hide there anyway. But, yeah, he's with them, just looking at him now. He's 31, but he's gotten better every year for the last few years. And that's a rare thing. And it's just cool to see that this wasn't just a one-year flash in the pan. And not only has he kept his games from his launch angle going up, but his average has gotten better every year. And yeah, he was kind of lingering around 300 before, but now he's at 335, and he's a really special hitter.
I'll guarantee you his exit velocity is enormous.
I haven't looked recently, but I think he's one of the top in the league.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you. Very good. All right, Owen, let's turn our attention a little bit to the Giants here. And looks like Crawford's going to be shut down. You and I talked about him the last time you were on, and he's chasing pitches on the outside part of the plate again, and sort of it really has not happened for him since June, really the middle of June. Belt, we talked about making all that soft contact. But what do you see pitching-wise? Because let's face it, it's September. Holland is still in there. Suarez, Rodriguez. I believe in Rodriguez. I've come around. He's, even though in 15 starts, I've seen enough of the arm and the ability to pitch to believe in him. And then we got Stratton today, who's come back really in his last three starts, hasn't walked anybody in his 12 strikeouts and a few runs given up in 20 innings. I think three runs given up. So how do you see the Giants right now? What stands out to you?
So, yeah, Stratton has been a nice little surprise. Obviously, he had that great run in the beginning of the year, and then things seemed to fall apart a bit for him. When he's pitching really well, he doesn't give up a lot of home runs. I was just looking at this. In those last three starts, he's been pretty good at keeping the ball down in the zone, and he doesn't get hurt too much there. And because he's not walking anyone, if you're not walking anyone, you're not giving up too many home runs. Okay, maybe, you know, the team, other team will string a few hits together every once in a while, but it's not like he's giving up a ton of hits either. So he's a nice little pitcher. You know, when he's not, a huge strikeout guy, so there will be some innings when the other team manages to you know, put a few runs on him. But yeah, it's been nice to see him come back. And I remember in that first stretch of the season, I think he went five starts without giving up a home run, and I couldn't really find any reason why that would continue, and it didn't. But this seems like something he's able to do, at least for stretches here and there. And I think the key for him is to keep the ball down and not keep it out of the middle. Because, you know, you look at where he gives up power, and it's where everyone else gives up power. It's middle, and around the zone. But if he can keep it down and kind of nibble at the corners, when he's able to do that, he's a pretty effective pitcher. I wouldn't expect him to be the ace of the staff or anything, but I think he can be a pretty good sort of number three type pitcher. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I see with him is his command within the strike zone, that he's low in, low out, up and in, mm-hmm. and he's not in the middle anymore because his OPS, I think his OPS probably against lefties, against lefties was like 815. And, you know, mm-hmm. he was getting hit hard, but he's limited the hard contact now because he's got better command.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can put it where you want to, that is half the battle. we underestimate how hard it is to just hit the corner of the zone. If you can do that consistently, that's pretty hard for, you know, most hitters. They at least have one part of the zone where they're not so good. And so if you actually know where you're throwing the ball, that, you know, you can be a pretty decent pitcher, even if you're not blowing guys away.
Anything good on anything good on the Giants front?
Well, not so much on the offense. Okay. That has been lackluster, to say the least. Derek Holland, I know he's a free agent at the end of the year, but he's been a real surprise. I thought, you know, beginning of the year, it's like, okay, some rookie's going to come up or something, and he's going to lose his spot. I thought, back when they had Cueto and Samardzija, I thought there's no way Holland's going to stick in the rotation. He's been really an important piece for them, and just kind of, at least in terms of hanging around, he's throwing the slider more. He's started to replace his fastball a little bit with his slider, and he's getting a lot more strikeouts, and he hasn't really given up anything else in the process of doing that. And, all of a sudden he's a guy where, you know, you could think about them bringing him back. I think he likes playing in San Francisco, and they could use a spare arm or two, because you think about next year's rotation. Okay, you can be excited about Rodriguez. Stratton looks like he can hold down a spot. Suarez has had his issues, but I think he's a guy you want to keep running out there. And, of course, Bumgarner, you assume, will still be around. But I don't think you can count on a whole lot from Samardzija or Cueto. Especially not Cueto, of course. But Samardzija, I think you take what you get from him, but consider that bonus at this point. I think you're going to need another arm or two. And if Holland is willing to come back, then, all of a sudden he seems like he could be a good piece of the puzzle.
I think so, and lefties usually have a second life. And I think he's one of those guys that figured it out. And as you say, he's throwing the slider more. I guarantee he's throwing more change-ups. And he's limited mm-hmm. the hard contact, and that's something you like to see at his age because he's figured it out. So lefties can do it at that stage. Looking at the Giants, one name that still jumps out at me, and it's Gorky's Hernandez. And you talk about the Giants for next year planning. And look, their offense, we could go through the numbers. We know how bad it is and how it's cost them the whole year. But where does he fit in when you assess his season number-wise, analytically, launch angle, exit velocity, whatever else, the BABIP, whatever else you look at? What is this someone that they say, okay, Gorky's, you got one of the spots next year? Or is it something Duggar's going to be in center and Gorky's, you got to fight for your job again, you'll be a fourth outfielder?
Yeah, I think ideally he's not someone you're relying to be one of the top three, but he could be. You know, I mean, he had that stretch in the middle of the year where he was just hitting everything. But you look at his numbers, you know, in the whole season, and he's not a superstar or anything. But, you know, he's got good defense. He'll run the ball down. So he's a nice player to have. Yeah, I think ideally you have him as a fourth outfielder. But I have no problem with sort of him, Duggar, Austin Slater, and, you know, maybe one or two other guys kind of, you know, you have four or five guys for three spots, but you can find room for everyone there. I think he can get some pretty regular playing time as kind of a fourth or third and a half kind of thing, because I think that's becoming more acknowledged now that you don't need to have three guys you expect to go 162 games. You can, you know, do platoons, and you can, you know, just give guys more days off. And I think I wouldn't want to be expecting, you know, 150 plus starts from Gorkys. I think he has to earn that, and I don't quite see that there. But, you know, if that ends up happening, that's not the end of the world. He's a nice little player.
Well, if you didn't know his name, and I just gave you the stats, exit velocity, OPS plus, you know, all the things that I just mentioned before the last question, what would jump out at you to say, this guy's okay? This guy's, you know, this guy could be having a good year. What about him in his repertoire, his resume, if you know, that jumps out at you?
With Hernandez, yeah. I would just say he's got a little bit of power. You can see some speed there. He strikes out a little more than you'd like. But yeah, this year he showed that he actually does have some power in there. Doesn't walk a ton. His on base is not quite what you'd want to be. If he could get that up, it's just below 300 now. And if he could get that up into the 320s, 330s, then I think you've got a starter, because, you know, he's got a little bit of pop. He's got some speed, and he plays good defense. But he's someone who I wouldn't want in the middle of the lineup most days. I remember he was a leadoff guy for a bit, and I guess that was when he was hot. But what we've come to expect from him, just kind of looking at the whole package, I see him as kind of a number seven-ish hitter in a decent lineup. But, you know, his WRC plus is 90 for the year. That means he's been 10% worse than a league average hitter. But for a guy who plays good defense and who, you know, I think of as sort of a fourth outfielder type, that's not bad. You know, it's not someone who you want to be a real linchpin of the team, because he's 31. I'd not expect him to pull a JD Martinez and suddenly be much better than that. But I think you can expect something like that, you know, some power, some speed, enough on base that you're not cringing, but not someone you want in the middle of the lineup. That's a useful player.
Okay.
Especially because I can't imagine they're paying him a whole lot. And so, yeah, I think of him as a fourth outfielder, but he can earn his way up to third.
All right. Well, that's part of the 25-man group, but they're going to need some power, legit power, at the corners. But being an extra player for him, he can help. Hey, pleasure having you on, as always. Very interesting. We didn't dwell too much on the Giants, so I like that, because it's been a tough 10 days for everybody to watch them just sort of come apart at the seams here. And they've got the Brewers tonight, and Gio on one side, the lefty, and Stratton, as you analyzed him very well, doing that's who I want to see tonight, and also the new kid at short, just to see what he looks like. So that's part of September baseball. But we'll have you on again before the end of the year. Next time, maybe we'll take a look at what we think maybe are the potential playoff teams and see what you say analytically about the National League playoff teams. Maybe we can do that the next time.
All right. Sounds great, Marty. Cool. We'll catch you next time.
All right. That's Owen Poindexter. You can read him in The Athletic. He's here in the Bay Area. Always nice to have him on. Just talk some ball with him here on a Saturday.